and everyone. I love to hear the chatter and the cackling and all the fun going on back there. Everybody greeting one another, doing community, doing life together. That's what it's all about, right there, isn't it? Loving one another, doing life with one another, and growing in the Lord together. Hey, I am excited. I'm not excited about the weather, the cold weather coming in this week, but I'm excited to be here with you. I'm excited about this series that we're in of Lordship, and I hope that even the first 2 weeks have really spoken to you. A couple of weeks ago, we started off with talking about having Lordship over our time, and we talked about good stewardship and learning how to multiply and redeem time that we do have and that we've have had, and as we handle that with the Lord. We don't deserve it. It's a gift. It's by grace that we have time in our lives, and so with understanding that, then we ought to subordinate, bring that back to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, what do you want me to do with this time that you gave me? How do I handle it? David wrote in the Psalms, said, teach us, Lord, how to number our days. Why? So we can be good stewards of it and maximize for eternity, serving the Lord, walking with the Lord, and doing whatever it is, fulfilling whatever it is that he has on our lives as a calling. And so that's one way to show lordship. We talked about having lordship over our thoughts, our thought life. And so allowing the Lord to lead what goes on in our thoughts and how to guide our thoughts, how to strengthen our thoughts. But we talked about needing to set aside time for spending time with him so that we can hear from him and so that we can actually live out what he purposes for our lives. We don't just know that without spending time with him. And so that comes from an investment of time and our thoughts being subjected to him. Your ways are higher than my ways, Lord. We have to agree with that. That's his word in Isaiah. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we don't capture his ways or his thoughts without spending time with him. And we don't make time with him unless we steward our time well. So he needs lordship over our time, lordship over our thought life. And today we're talking about having lordship over my treasures, lordship over my treasures. And so this is it's a broad scale right here. And what is treasures? And so Matthew 6:21, Jesus says that wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what he's saying is whatever you treasure the most, your heart's connected to it. So your heart will be pointed in the direction of whatever you treasure. Have you ever collected anything? I used to collect baseball cards and football cards. That was a thing growing up when I was a kid. Before that was Garbage Pail Kids. Remember Garbage Pail Kids? That was like old school. That just came to my mind. I have no idea why. But, you know, collecting little sports icons and things like that, that was a big deal for me. And boy, they were precious. I had these little cases and had these little cases. The better the card or the more valuable, the stronger the case, airtight, sealed, and nobody better touch my cards. Nobody better touch my stuff. Why? Because my heart was connected to it because it was a treasure. Have you ever maybe a specific hobby to where a portion of your time and finances are being invested towards that hobby? That's a treasure. How about have you ever had a greater love for a person than you did Jesus? You treasured that person and almost became a little bit unhealthy towards anything that happened or may happen with that person, not carrying the heart of Jesus for whatever was going on with that person. These are treasures. Let's see, what else? Have you ever had a vehicle that you really liked? And you knew maybe you couldn't necessarily afford it, but you kind of cheated the budget a little bit to go above and beyond to get that thing because, man, it's hot. You know what girls would do when they saw me in that? Or you know what guys would think? Or you know what, ooh, my friends or others would see, they look at me when I'm driving, that color. But nobody better touch it. Don't get near my vehicle. I'm parking in the back of the parking lot. Nobody's treasure. Because if anything happened to it, my heart gets unsettled. Treasure. What about, have you ever had an addiction maybe? Maybe it was food. probably starting to realize, I think I was a little bit more addicted to some foods than I thought I was before during this 21 days of fast. What about TV? Maybe you have an addiction to TV. Just something inside of you just wants, is compelled to go and spend more, too much time in front of the TV. How about social media? What about pornography? Nobody better say anything about this stuff. All of a sudden your heart gets, what about alcohol or drugs addiction? And if anybody tries to talk to me about it, I get upset. Why? Because I'm treasuring that right now. So these things, anytime someone tries to address with God's truth or assistance for you to grow beyond in your understanding, and your heart gets all in an uproar, get all tight and get all fussy, and you want a backlash, well, there's a treasure that's out of alignment because your heart is connected to it. And someone, God has brought someone across your path or someone's across your path to give you insight beyond what you currently have so that you can have a different understanding towards his ways, because they're higher than our ways, especially when we're in their circumstances, and his thoughts that are higher than our thoughts. And your heart gets all frustrated and flustered, and you may even close up not to hear it because you want to protect your treasure, because where your treasure is, so too is your heart. Anybody ever been there? So I'm really going to get into your heart a little bit today. And the only way to begin to understand how to properly handle and steward treasures and where they're supposed to go and be how they're supposed to be handled is to recognize, one, that God is ultimate owner of all treasures. So if God is ultimately the owner of all the treasures, then I've got to decide what is my part. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Man, I don't have much room to say that it belongs to me, do I? So there's got to be a realignment of authority and ownership. If the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, then everything in it that I think I possess or I own or is in my name, is it really mine? And all who live in it, those people who I love so much, maybe a little bit overly love more than I do the Lord, why do I feel like I need to have possession of them? Are they mine or are they his? Let me take it down to, what about your kids? Nobody better mess with my kids. With these kids. And we should protect our kids. We should steward our kids really, really well. But are they ours or are they his? See, perspective begins to shift how we live out, what happens, our behaviors and our actions, because where our treasure really lies, our heart will follow. And what happens in our heart will reveal where our treasure is. And so if we understand that we're just stewards, he's the owner, but we have a responsibility to steward according to his ways, his thoughts, his will, then we will do whatever is required or asked of us according to his word. So I will steward my kids well, praying and hoping for the day that they meet their true father, which is their heavenly father. I will steward what's in my possession well, understanding that it really doesn't belong to me. I'm just the steward. He's the owner. And he's entrusted those things into my life. So I have to understand this. I have to understand. Because Proverbs tells us that there is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right but leads to poverty. Everything we have, our money, our properties, our resources, belong to God. He's the owner. Everything that my clothes, my shirt, my shoes, my vehicle, my house, we are the stewards. He is the owner. Does an employee do whatever they want, Or do they do according to what their boss has requested? But business owners are saying the employees tend to do whatever they want when I'm asking them to do something else. And therein lies the problem. And that way, what happens, business owners? Life does not go well for them, does it? No, it does not. And it's the same for us as children of God. When we are not handling and stewarding according to God's ways and his will, life does not go well for us. Yes, this is true, Zach. This is, okay. In Jesus' name, I'm going to believe. So as a follower of Christ and a human in the flesh, I have to develop a mindset of stewardship. Because a human in the flesh says, no, this is mine. I earned it. I did this. But a son or a child of God says, no, it belongs to him. It is all his. He has gifted and entrusted these things to me. So I've got two people at work within me all the time at the same time. One of them is always going to win. One of them is always going to struggle. And one of them is always, always, always going to be right. Guess who it's not? It's not the one who says, it's mine, I earned it, I deserve it. It's always going to be the one who says, I'm just a steward, it all belongs to God. Lord, what do you want me to do with it and when? But that's, as children of Christ, as children of the Father, that's where we have to get. I have to remind myself, this is his and not mine. Because just like anything else in the world, when we spend too much and allow too much of our heart to get connected to it, it becomes a treasure. And the more it becomes a treasure, the more we try to embrace or hold on tightly or control. But in the kingdom of God, we're here to steward everything with and everyone with an open hand. Meaning, while they're in my stewardship, I'm going to do the best that I can with them, but they may not always be here, and God gets to decide when they come and when they go. People, places, and things. So this is why in the New Testament commandment tells us to do everything as unto the Lord. Everything as unto the Lord. I lead as unto the Lord. I serve as unto the Lord. I work as unto the Lord. I'm blessed by that. I use resources as unto the Lord. I leverage resources as unto the Lord. I leverage influence as unto the Lord. I leverage opportunities as unto the Lord. Why? Because I realize it's not mine. Even in the tension of the two working within me at the same time, all the time, the one who is most edified, when my spirit is most edified, is when I'm agreeing with the Lord of it's yours, it's not mine, I'm a steward. Please tell me what you would like for me to do with it. So I have to remind myself often. And anything that we do not do as in the Lord, as unto the Lord, is either a treasure in our heart or not recognized to us that God desires for us to steward. So if I'm not handling it unto the Lord, it's either a treasure that's my heart's way too connected to, or I don't realize that this actually belongs to the Lord. I have forgotten about lordship and that he is Lord of all and that it all belongs to him. I'm in two places until I find the one place of agreement with him and his word that it all belongs to him and I'm just merely a steward. And when I keep that humble attitude, he can entrust more to my possession because I am a possessor, but he is the owner. So if I give you something and I say, hold on to this, take care of this for me, I'm going to be gone, but when I get back, I would like it back. And if you can do something to make it increase or better, please do that, but I'm going to want it back. You're the possessor, I'm still the owner. And this is what God does with us. And so he says there's one who scatters and yet another or increases more. And I want to remind you, last week we talked about the concept of farming and gardening and seeds. And this is a concept of the Lord, one who scatters. Who God is able to mobilize and scatter and give away. And somehow they scatter, but they increase even all the more. How can that possibly be? And there's one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. You ever notice how whatever you try to hold on real tightly, it tends to get kind of stagnant, tends to go bad. When you have a really controlling relationship, it starts to get spoiled and get ugly and nasty and there's more fighting. When you start to really try to control your kids rather than teach your kids and guide your kids and steward your kids, things get a little funky and contentious. You ever notice how in work it starts to get that way or in anything in life, when you try to hold on to it too tightly and try to control it, it gets worse and worse and worse when you think, if I do that, it'll get better and better and better. Because there's kingdom principles that are attached to that. And it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters, in this good news, will himself be watered. So the way to be rich is to be generous. But it sounds opposite. It sounds so crazy. But no, if I hold on to more, the more I'll have. Doesn't make you rich. And he says the one who waters, kingdom principle, God will then him water. Oh, you're going to pour out, then I'm going to pour out in you. And I'm going to pour out more so you can overflow more. So there will be a continuum of the overflow. And you can cultivate a heart of generosity through thankfulness to God. Thank you for starting to thank him for the little things, starting to thank him for the things that you do have stewardship over or possession over. When you start to thank him, it creates a heart of humility, which also transforms your understanding in your mind to say, you know what, this doesn't belong to me, it really does belong to him. And now I'm able to hear from him to see what does he want to do, to hear what does he want me to do with whatever it is. And the more he can guide our decision-making with our treasures, whatever we treasure, the more he can guide those decisions, the more he can give us influence and favor and water us and water the conditions, which brings health to those situations and circumstances, those treasures. So you're thinking, why would I do that? Well, we'll talk about it later, but lordship leads us to pray over financial decisions, seeking God's guidance on how to use these resources and honor him. You ever pray over what financial decisions to make? Maybe it's spending, maybe it's investing, maybe it's a business venture, maybe it's just a trip, a vacation, Lord, because God blesses rest. He loves you to rest, not lazy, but rest. Don't be lazy, rest. Don't think that if you work more, you can earn more without rest. He can do more when you rest than you can do with all of your labors. Rest, but don't be lazy. And as a married couple, maybe you need to decide, what's the threshold of our spending where we actually need to discuss it and talk about it, and we need to get on the same page. We need to make sure that we're good to go when it comes to wants, not necessarily needs. And so one of the encouraging benefits that we get is we get freedom from the burden of materialism. When we start to become thankful for all that we do have rather than focusing on what we don't have, when we focus on what we don't have, we begin to control more. We begin to be a little bit more selfish. But when we cultivate a heart of gratitude and thanking God for the opportunities that we do have, what he has blessed us with, where we are right now, maybe it's a little, but whatever it is, I'm saturating it in thankfulness, then I'm liberated from the burden of materialism. And the joy, we get to enter into the joy of experiencing God's blessings through wise stewardship. God blesses stewardship. This is a biblical principle. He will bless good stewardship. When there's lordship over our finances, our treasures, the resources he's provided, he blesses it. There will come a time because of your gratitude towards the Lord that overly spending yourself feels like a quenching of the spirit. Meaning, when I just keep spending and I'm buying things and it's always for me, when you have come to this understanding and the Lord is trying to use you to bless others and to be a blessing, then all of a sudden you'll start to feel a little bit like, I'm just tired of buying stuff. It's like eating, overeating, and eating even more, and realize I'm no longer hungry. In fact, this food's making me sick. There will be a point in your life when God is trying to get a hold of your attention and saying, all this buying and spending merely for yourself is not properly stewarding the resources that I have entrusted to you. Then he starts to transform your heart when we lean into him. And then he cultivates a heart of joy and gratitude by starting to put other people on your heart, other situations on your heart, other initiatives on your heart, where you're going to have more value and find more joy by giving away for the benefit of others than it is for spending for yourself and your own wants. God begins to turn your heart. He begins to waken you up for greater things. He begins to transform your mind. So let's talk about how to break these strongholds, because when we don't, they become strongholds. When we continue to hold on to these treasures as if they're ours, that becomes a stronghold. Our heart gets all out of shape, bent out of shape whenever things aren't going our way or something is happening or we feel like something's going to happen to our treasure. We got to break those strongholds. And the only way to do it is to embrace tithing and generosity as acts of worship. Again, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. So the only way to break that bondage is to agree with his way. Break the bondage of greed, of selfishness, of lack even, is to find a way. What does his word say about these things? Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your increase. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Everybody wants the latter without without doing the former. Like I want, can I just have the barns that are filled to overflowing, please? And can I have the vats of wine, please? The new wine, please, can I have that? Well, yeah, absolutely you can. Here's the prescription that God has written to you for, to do that. Honor him with your wealth. Meaning, steward the treasures that he's entrusted to you the way he says for them to be steward. That honors him. You know that God will not honor anybody who's not honoring him. In fact, he says that he will raise up anyone who does honor him. And that's a thread. So if that's the truth and God is honest, then he's saying, if I trust him with the wealth and the first fruits of all of my increase, then he will cause me to rise up. He will cause me to be blessed. He will cause the more to take place. He will. He does it. And all I do is come under agreement and lordship and understand my role. My job description is steward. His is owner. He gets to dictate and decide what stewardship looks like. And I get to decide who I am in the role. Am I going to tell God how I really think it should be? Like you might do your bosses or employers? Pete's loving this. He goes, I'm so glad my son came today. This is the day the Lord has made. I am so happy. Lunch is going to be good today. All right. It says, bring all the, Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. We'll get to that in a minute. But tithing and giving generously are always ways to honor God and to demonstrate the trust that this is his provision. This is his. And that he is indeed Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. Is Jesus, is God Jehovah Jireh in your life? No. Yes, I've sang the song. I know the word. No. Is he Jehovah Jireh? Jireh means provider. Is he the provider? Can you say with experience, have you gone to a place where this is going to be a little bit risky? This is going to be a little bit challenging. I don't know how this is going to work out. This might put me over the top in a very unsafe for me situation. My heart's starting to get fluttered because my treasures are account, my connected, heart connected to my treasures. And you're asking me to do something with my treasures that I don't know how it's going to work out. But when you do it and you see him show up and not only show up, but to bless with the abundance where you understand he is your provider. Have you seen that to where you can experientially know, no, I get it. He is my provider. Because if you haven't, he is not Jehovah Jireh to you. So you can sing the songs all day long, and you can read the words, and you can pray the prayers, but until you get into the experience of God just shows up because of your obedience of what you have done in honoring him, and he begins to bring the increase, you've scattered, and he begins to bless all the more, and you can't logically figure out why it's happening or how it's happening, except for the Lord is fulfilling his promise and showing you, I am and I always will be your Jehovah provider. Is, yes, are his thoughts higher than your thoughts or are your thoughts higher than his thoughts? What we do in this area will tell us what you really believe. Malachi 3:10 tells us to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, the place of worship in which you enter. All the tithes. And he says, that there may be food in my house. What does that mean? So that people who are coming in, the lost and the hurting and the wounded, those needing counseling and freedom, those needing prayer, have plenty of resource for their lives. The lost who have need are being able to be tended to and nourished and loved well because of the resources. When you come in here, guess what? You can actually hear the music and the speaker speaking because there's instruments. There's electricity. You know how that gets paid? I'm going to give you a moment to guess. You know how it's hot in here? Sometimes it's cold in the other. You know how there's donuts out there? No, I've never thought about that. I thought God just, manna from heaven just shows up. In some way. And he says, oh, here's the part we love. See if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. We all want that. As your leadership, we want that for you. As a father, I want that for my family. As a father, I want that for my children. I want them to understand. I want you to grab a hold of this so that it can grab a hold of you. I want you to be able to skip down the road saying, he is my Jehovah Jireh. He is my Jehovah, because somehow, in some way, he's providing for you in supernatural ways, all because of your humility of heart to surrender to his lordship in the area of finances. That's my passion for you. So how do we do it? We commit to give the first 10% of your income, which is tithing, 10%, to your local church, the place you get worship. Where are you getting fed? Where are you getting ministry? Where are you coming in to worship? That's the place. That's the storehouse for you. That's a baseline of generosity, by the way, and it's not even giving, it's returning. Because it already belongs to him, right? So I'm returning the 10% that you're asking so that my heart towards you can be revealed. Because that's what all it is. He's saying, you test me now in this, but he's also testing our hearts. Do I really have your heart? Does my kingdom really matter to you? Is your heart connected to my kingdom? Does my bride really matter to you? Because how you steward the treasures he gives you will reveal what really matters. I told you in the first week, I can tell you where your heart is, but you open to me your calendar and your checkbook, and I can tell you right quick, here's what matters to you. So we spoke about the word of God being the seed last week and is required to grow the garden of your soul. See, I got to go grow good seed in the garden of my soul, and it requires the embedding and the planting of the word of God. Well, scripture also, interestingly enough, references money as a seed. In 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. There's a principle to be found in that. You want to sow? You want to reap sparingly? Well, just give a little bit, what you think is right. Just do what you want to do. Maybe. But you want to reap bountifully, like we read in the past few scriptures? Well, I've got to sow bountifully if I want to reap bountifully. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves that you're like, oh, don't do it because I have to. Well, God makes me do it. His word says, and that pastor won't shut up about it, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this week, get him off my chest, and then next week I'm not doing it next month. All hell have to freeze over. Well, guess what? It might this week. So we got to shift. So it's upon each of us individually to move this little evil heart that's inside of us, because it is, it's corrupt, it's evil, it starts out that way. And God, by faith, gives us a heart of flesh for a heart of stone that he takes from us. He writes his word on our hearts. No longer is it on tablets. Why? So that he can lead us and guide us as long as we'll humbly submit to his lordship in every area of our lives. But in every area of our lives, things feel that we don't, things feel quenched. They feel stagnant. They feel I'm grumpy. I'm disgruntled. I don't like the word of God when it comes to this area. Why? Because it's a lack of lordship in a certain area over certain subjects within our heart. When you break it down, that's all it is. When you get down to the root of the matter, that's all it is. And so we have to move from this grudgingly and resistantly to a heart of gratitude to, oh, I get to give. I get an opportunity to give to something that matters eternally. I get to do something of great impact. I get to. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. You want the advantage in life? Learn how to sow bountifully. And the beauty of it is this: he will make all grace abound to you. God, don't limit God's grace. There's a manifold grace of God. I mean, it's multifaceted. It hits you from out of nowhere when you never even saw it coming, and in a way you never even anticipated. That grace just shows up as a byproduct of your showing of faith and honoring him with what he's entrusted to you. He just shows up with grace. And we limit our potential to receive the fullness of God's grace by not being willing to return back to God the 10%, the mere 10% that he's requested. We limit our ability to receive this grace. We're saying, no, I'm good in and of myself. My life is good enough. We should be the most blessed, and we are the most blessed. We should be revealing the fact that we are the most blessed human beings on the face of the earth, because we have a Father in heaven who holds all things and has the ability to release anything at any time and bless us with it. And he's just trying to condition our hearts to be able to steward it well so that it doesn't ruin us. Having all sufficiency, you ever feel like, I feel insufficient? I don't feel sufficient to do that. I don't know that I can do that. I don't know if that's possible for me. I feel insufficient. Well, you wouldn't if you just started to trust God by faith in these areas. Because he says, grace will abound in you and all sufficiency in all things will be given to you, so that you may have an abundance for every good work. Well, I don't have enough to give to that. Why? Why? Because he gives the same blueprint of life to you as he does the next person beside you who believes that they do. And remember, Jesus honored the little old widow who gave two mites, two little pennies, because it was from what she gave. And people struggle with 10% with the amount to give. Do you know how much that would be? Sometimes it's millionaires. You know how much that would be? Yeah, 10%. Same as the person who's struggling, the single mom who's struggling to get by with three kids, four kids, that's still doing it anyway. In fact, it's harder for that one than it is for this one. It's 10%. Why? Because it's the order of the Lord. It's the ways of God. His ways are higher than our ways. You've got to decide which is it. His thoughts are high. He can see from a higher mountain than we can see from our little knoll. So if he's up there telling us, like the Deborah prophesying, how to fight this battle from the high places, wouldn't it be wise for us to listen to the one who can see from the high places rather than those of us who are in the trenches and can't see over the bodies of others? Absolutely it would. Deuteronomy 15:10 plays into this as well. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in some of your work. Listen, you need to get this one right here, because where we're going in just a minute, you're going to see this come to fruition in God's word Then because of this, because of my generosity and my giving without begrudgingly, your God will bless you in all your work. Meaning if I'm a business owner, I'm trusting that he's going to bless the business because I'm stewarding this business according to his principles and the resources and finances that come along with it as well. I know that one business is probably not going to be sustainable long term. I need to diversify. I probably need to learn how to invest. And so I want him not only to bless this, I want him to bless all things that I put my hands to. And I'm trusting that he can do it far better than I can do it. And along the way, I'm trusting that he will also give me the creative wisdom to do what he's called me to do farther than my own earthly wisdom can come up with. All right. And sadly, though, because of a lack of generosity and an unwillingness to tithe, some of us are working double and triple time just to catch up with what God can do with a little bit of time. And we have nothing to show for it. Working double and triple time, got nothing to show for it, and can't see what all the labors and the lamentations, because when you're working like that, there's lamentations connected to it. Scripture says that he gives wealth and provides no sorrow for it. So if I'm fighting for wealth and I'm full of lamentations, I'm probably not doing it his way. If everything is flat, broke, and busted along the way of me gaining wealth, it's most likely it's my will and not his will. It's my way and not his way. Psalms 112, 5 and 6 says, God will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Oh, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. What kind of legacy are you leaving? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? If you were to take the principle of beginning with the end in mind and you're seeing your headstone of your grave, what's on it? Here lies a selfless individual who gave generously at every opportunity. Or here's a selfish individual who went to the grave holding on to everything they had. Here is an unfaithful individual who did nothing with all God's steward gave them to steward. Here's an individual who selflessly transformed lives out of the great gratitude of what God did in their lives. What is it? What's the legacy? My grandfather financially and physically left a legacy that he didn't get to see. He helped, around the time I was born, helped plant a church financially and physically in Honduras. Over 3 decades later, there comes a grandson discovering or having a desire in his heart without knowing to go to Honduras because God brought a Honduran friend, accountability partner, into his life. Starts having a conversation with family, then discovers 35 years later that his grandfather planted a legacy seed financially and physically, planting a church in a country that supernaturally God just puts on his heart. That's me. I go there. The Lord meets me there. Asks me to stay there. I meet my wife. And the rest is still in the making. My son, I was so proud. I'm so proud of him. Last week, he lost a tooth. The tooth fairy gave him $20. Mr. Tooth Fairy. Could it be weird if anyway. Mr. Tooth Fairy. And he walks in. So I said, hey, buddy, remember? Well, I asked him this week, you remember what you do with the increase that you get? He goes, I give it back to the Lord. I said, you don't have to give all of it unless he puts it on your heart, but he just requires 10%. So this morning, we wrote out his little tithe envelope, put his little $2 in there. He signed his name, put his $2 on there. And then he came in worship, He says, but let me put it in the black box, okay? It's a legacy. Some of you are like, that's brainwashing. No, no, no. No, no. I want my kids to be blessed. I want my kids to be blessed, and I want you to be blessed the same. Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the poor, and he will reward them for what they have done. Did you know that God tests our heart with the poor? How are we going to treat those who come in who have less than what we do? How are we going to treat those who have great need? How are we going to treat those in another country who we'll never see maybe, but they don't have water, but God's great created an opportunity for us to bless them? How are we going to treat them? Oh, I don't care. I don't even know we're going to see them. Or is it, you know what? There's an eternal purpose that our church is moving on. And I want to be a part of that. No matter the income, no matter the money. Am I clenching that money so tightly because I'm afraid that God can't provide? Where do you think you got that money? So I want to experience God's faithfulness as he provides. Provides for my needs and uses my giving to transform lives and expand his kingdom. That's what I want to be a part of. That's leaving a legacy. I want to do something that makes a difference. Last year, we did something that made a difference. Missions just blew up for us last year. We got a lot of opportunities coming this year. Our San Rafael, we're able to invest and help develop the school there just through our cafe. We have our water well in Kenya. This year, in 2 weeks, we're going, our leadership team, you guys are sending us to develop and coach 75, 80 pastors in a state within Honduras. This is unheard of. This is big. This is really big. Yesterday I poured my heart out for about 3.5 hours. An African-American church in our town called and said, hey, we would like you to do a leadership seminar for us. Absolutely. Immediately. Absolutely. I didn't have to think about it. Absolutely. Next question. How much is that going to cost us? Nothing. Nothing. You know how much I would normally cost? I would try to pay it? No. Nothing. Why? Because generosity. I need them to grow. We need other churches to grow. We need churches in our county to be strengthened. We need to give away what has been given to us. Why? Because when we give away what's given to us, God gives us more. They grow, we grow, everybody grows. That's the kingdom mindset. That's how we get there. Three is this, we got to learn how to leverage assets for God's glory and eternal impact. Leveraging what we have. Matthew 6:19-20 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy. Do not store up for yourselves. He doesn't say, don't find new wealth strategies. He doesn't say, don't earn more money. He doesn't say, don't be a good kingdom steward so God can bless you. He says, don't do it for yourself. Don't do it for yourself. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, he's taught us how to do that by blessing others, by giving to eternal things that matter, by helping the poor. Literally, scripture tells us when we lend to the poor, we're lending to God. When we give to the poor, we're lending to God. Get this, Ecclesiastes 11:1-2 says, ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you will receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. He's telling us how to invest, how to utilize and steward the money that he's been given, the treasures, the business opportunities, the property, the assets, everything that is entrusted into our property. He is saying, listen, use it to leverage it, to add, to gain more, not so that you can have more, but so you can be more generous. The more generous you are, the more creative insight I will give you. You will be able to leverage that to gain more. We got a problem. People say, well, I'm working 2 jobs. Good. Then you're on your way. What's wrong with you if you're not working 2 jobs? If you don't have 1 main business and a side business? Because he says, have 8. Have 8 ways, 7 or 8 ways, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. See, the phrase, you do not know what disaster may come, reflects the unpredictability of life. Saying, hey, have multifaceted streams of income coming in and tend to them all so he can bless with increase. See, a slave sits around and waits for life to happen to him or her. But a son and a daughter takes advantage and sees, if I steward what he's been giving me his way, he can trust me, he'll trust me with more, and I can give more, I can bless more, and I'll even have more. Yes, Pastor Nathan, absolutely right. And then Ecclesiastes 11:6 says, sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle. Meaning, go get two jobs. Have a main job and another source of income that you're working on. For you do not know which one will succeed. Don't let your hands be out. Who's sitting around watching YouTube and playing video games and looking at social media all night when you got plenty of time and you're complaining because you have no time? Walked into the wrong house today. We have to learn how to leverage what he has given for the sake of gaining more, not for the sake of having more, but for the sake of having more to steward and bless others with. Don't be short-sighted. Don't be short-sighted. So the benefits of the satisfaction of knowing your resources are making an eternal impact and the blessing of seeing God multiply what you've entrusted back to him. So I want you to consider this. Are his ways higher than your ways? Are his thoughts higher than your thoughts? Does he have lordship over your finances? Is it an automatic thought 10% needs to go back to him? Is there an open heart that says, hey, whatever he wants to do, he can do? The Lord put it in my wife and our heart right after we built this building right here to start a small business. We had no idea why. We just went for it. And guess what we did? It was like working three jobs. And now we're able to use that to bless other ministers who need times of rest. Guest speakers who come here to bless you pay nothing for housing. Why? Because my wife and I bless them with that so they can rest before delivering to you. People who go through trying times, who have had death in their family. We give them a place to stay and their families to stay. Why? Because they're going through a time of mourning. And the most Jesus thing we can do is say, hey, let us give you a place so that you can rest, a sanctuary where you have to worry about nothing, and we will take care of all the cleanup when you're gone. It's not to have more, it's to have more to steward well with generosity. Right now, there's a family that reached out to me from Austin, said, hey, we had a death in the family, we need to come to town. No problem, we'll help you out. It's to steward well for his purposes and eternal. But what does he do? He blesses with more. This stuff, this little stuff that you give that you thought, well, this is the great stuff. No, that's the little crumbs. We hold on to crumbs not knowing there's a bigger cake. I love cake. Lastly, Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Let me just pray for you and get out of here. Will you stand up? Please stand up. We've got a lot of things coming down the pipeline, and it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about this community. And if you've been watching the videos every morning and doing the devotion with us, I'm encouraged, by the way, of 50 plus people, over 50 people in our little group that's going through this devotion together. I love hearing your responses. I love hearing what's in your heart. I love hearing how God is stirring up the miraculous and the greater things. He's setting us on a track together in corporate unity for something that we can't see yet, but he can. He's calling out from the mountaintops, and he's guiding and he's leading and he's directing. But in knowing that, that means also there's a preparation that must come. See, if God gives me vision, then he's just not going to make it happen. I've got to start preparing for the day that he causes it to happen. And in a community, in a body, in a corporate entity, there's got to be a gathering, an agreement, a coming together and saying, you know what? There's some things that it doesn't happen corporately until it happens on the individual level. That means there's some things that I have to start to prepare my heart for. Maybe it's over my treasures, which are really his treasures, that I need to start seeing differently, handling differently, stewarding differently, preparing for other things to come. But his ways are higher than my ways. I may have to make some sacrifices to see the return. This is how it is whenever we're invested in the kingdom. Our hearts are in the kingdom because our treasure is in his kingdom. We start to see things differently and we get to see things differently. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that you speak to every one of us and that you prepare our hearts for the greater things ahead. Lord, those who have yet to trust you in returning back to you what belongs to you, I pray that you move them by faith to just test you and trust you. And Holy Spirit, I know you already, that you will respond, you will answer from heaven, you will bring the resource and the solution. And Father, for those who have just been settling at bringing in the tithe and it's come as a rote and religious act, Lord, I pray that you move them and open their hearts to move beyond the tithe into greater things, into the generosity of giving above and beyond, looking for sacrifice, looking for a way to push beyond the boundaries that have been set. Father, I pray that stagnation go away. And Lord, I pray for the resources and the manna of heaven to come and fall on every one of your people. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Can I get a good amen? We love you guys.